That was my cue, I guess. Wasn't that beautiful? Give him another round of applause. Yeah. The being able to blow on those instruments and have that sound come out is a true talent. I know it takes some cultivating, but we thank the Lord that he has given them that talent to share with us. Glad to have each and every one of you here with us. I know there's some familiar faces, and there's some faces we haven't seen for a while, and then there's those faces we see every week. And you know what? We're glad each and every one of you is here. We wouldn't want today to be here without you being with us. We want you to enjoy this service. We hope that during this service, we can really realize what this season is all about. You know, the packages are nice to receive. The decorations are beautiful to look at. Even the music's wonderful to hear. But Christ in our hearts, Emmanuel, came, God came to be with us so that we might know him and live with him forever. That's a hallelujah day. That's a hallelujah. Well, thank you so much for being here. I got some announcements I will make here. I won't try to spend too much time on it. For those that do come here every week, the card exchange today was the last day, so please clean out your card basket. If you didn't bring them in, say, oh, I'll do better next year. But don't bring them in next week, please. Just clean out what you have in there, and we'll call it an end to that exercise. Prime timers. We had a nice prime timers meeting. We had a white elephant exchange. And, you know, somebody actually got a white elephant. Who was that? Who took the white elephant home? Who? Oh, Linda Jennings, yeah. She's the owner of a white elephant now, yes. And if you're a part of the girls that do the gift exchange, the Secret Sisters, where you try to encourage one another throughout the year, make sure you check on top of the coffee bar there, because there are probably some gifts. Make sure you take the one that might be for you, take it home. And then we're going to ask you and each and every one to stay afterwards, because there is a punch and cookie reception for you to enjoy one another's company, enjoy a good snack, and you can talk about how good the program was. So we do thank you all for being here. God bless you. And at this time, we're going to go through the Advent candle of peace. So let's read this reading together. Today, the candle of hope was relit. We light the second candle, the candle of peace. We long for peace, peace in our homes, peace in our communities, peace in our nation and our world. Many documents have been signed in the name of peace. Peace has been given a symbol to be worn and a gesture to be given. But true peace is not and will never be a result of human effort. True peace comes only by acceptance of the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ our Lord. And everybody, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which should be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on peace. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity to worship you together. We do pray for peace, Father. We pray for peace throughout the world. We pray for peace in people's souls. Most of all, Lord, we pray that they find and acknowledge that true and the wonderful peace comes from knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord. He is the perfect peace that calms the storm. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Good to have you here this morning. We'll have an offertory, and while we're doing the offertory, we'll take up the offering. our dinner plates. Where are the other two?
Thank you. Lord Jesus has come. And during this season of the year, we focus on his first appearance on earth. Let me invite you to join us as we sing and as we speak of him. Let me invite you to come. Come and behold him. Christ the Lord, sing with us.
Oh, God. There were shepherds and wise men, maybe others, who came not only to behold the newborn king, but also to adore him. Few, if any, really knew what lay ahead for this king. Would he ascend into the throne in Israel, overtaking Caesar or Herod? Would he rise to power as a military leader, like his ancestor, King David? Would he become a great prophet, like Isaiah and Jeremiah? No one knew. Still, so many questions about this child they found in such a lowly place. But even through the questions, the Spirit of God assured them that this was their Messiah. This child, Jesus, was the image of his Father, his heavenly Father, the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God.
Immortal, invisible, God only wise, enlightened, accepted. conceived. Then heaven awaited the birth of its king. With angels surrounding, the baby was born, revealing God's splendor in Jesus our Lord.
Paul wrote of Jesus, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for everything was created by him in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things hold together. He was the invisible God in human form. We believe this is true, for the scripture tells us so. But how can we see him now? He is invisible to us again. So how can we behold him today? Open your eyes and let the light of Jesus shine in your heart, casting away the doubts so you can see.
I was a seeker, alone in a dark world. I searched for truth, but settled for lies. I have been blinded, I couldn't see. Star in Bethlehem sky, open my eyes. I have seen the light shining in the darkness, bursting through the shadows, delivering the dawn. Baby, who could believe?
You might still say, I can't behold him. I still can't see him. The shadows are still there, obstructing my view. It is in these shadows sometimes that God, through his Son, Jesus, reveals himself most clearly. Listen to the testimony of this song.
There are moments on our journey following the Lord when God illumines every step we take. There are times when circumstances make perfect sense to us as we try to understand each move he makes. But when the path grows dim and our questions have no answers, turn to him.
Now we trust the heart of your Father when the answer goes beyond what you bow the knee, lift your eyes toward heaven, and believe the one who holds eternity. And when you don't understand the purpose
He was born in an obscure village, the child of a peasant woman. He grew up in a small, still another village, where he worked as a carpenter shop until he was 30. Then for 3 years, he was an itinerant preacher.
He never wrote a book. He never held an office. He didn't go to college. He never visited a big city. He never traveled 200 miles from the place where he was born. He did none of these things. One usually associates with greatness.
And yet all the armies that ever marched, all the navies that ever sailed, all the kings that ever reigned, put together, have not afflicted the life of man on earth as much as this one solitary life.
That one man, Jesus, became sin on our behalf, so that when he was crucified, he made a way for us to have a new relationship with our Heavenly Father. And on the third day, when he arose from the dead, the power that raised him now gives us the chance to live eternally in heaven. We invite you once more to come. Behold him for who he truly is.
He is Lord above the name.
Thanks, Dave. Yeah. Can I borrow a stick, too, for a minute? Yeah. You may all rise for a minute. We're going to pray before we start a devotion. Devotion, you know, is just a little bit shorter than a sermon. So the question is, how long was the sermon and how long is the devotion? Well, you'll find out in a second here. So let's just pray this morning. Father, we thank you for bringing us here this morning. Thank you for the choir singing these songs to remind us the joy we have, the faithfulness of you, that you've come and that you're going to come again. And now let us remember this Christmas season that you're the reason for this, not the gifts that we give or receive, even though those are nice, but the gift you've already given us. So Lord, be with us this morning as we look at your word. In Jesus' name, amen. We're about a week away from celebrating the glorious day of Christmas and recognizing the birth of our Christ, our Savior. Just to let you know, we'll have a Christmas Eve service here at 6 o'clock if you want to come. We'll be a little bit shorter than a regular service so you can get home with your family, but we'll have a Christmas Eve service. We've done candles before. We're doing flashlights this year just because the wax was an issue for some of the kids dripping on each other. So when we do the lighting, we'll be doing flashlights, little teeny flashlights. We'll pass around the same idea, but no wax involved. But during this season, we've looked at hope, love, and joy. Today we're going to focus on peace, and the Prince of Peace to be exact. Isaiah 9:6 was prophesied long before Christ was born, and it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Now you think about this, his baby had four names. Anybody else have four names in here? Nobody? Well, one person, okay. And I do also. When I got baptized, they named me after my dad and my grandfather, my uncle, and all those things that they do. But he had four names. Wonderful Counselor. And why is he the Wonderful Counselor? Because he's somebody you can turn to for advice and for comfort. When you're having issues, you turn to the Lord. You can turn to somebody else, but you may not get comfort. You may get criticism. So turn to the Lord for comfort, and he'll give you wise counsel. He's also called the Mighty God. Why? Because he is indeed God. He came in the flesh, but he's also God. Everlasting Father. He's a Father who never leaves us, never goes away, is always there for us for eternity. Some of us don't have fathers that stayed the whole time, right? They left, or they're gone, or they passed away, or they just deserted the family, but he's always going to be there. And finally, he's called the Prince of Peace because there's no peace without him. If you don't have Christ as your Lord today and Savior, then there's no lasting peace. Remember in the garden, Adam and Eve, they were content until they disobeyed the Lord. They had sinned, they ate the forbidden fruit. They had a perfect life until they gave in to sin, which affected not only them, but the whole world. There was now going to come immorality, sickness, disease, work, pain in childbirth, disobedience, and the like. So without this sin, we wouldn't have all those effects. They started out having the perfect life, didn't they? Perfect peace. Everything was great. They're in the garden. No worries, no cares. But as a result of disobedience, they had no peace, at least not a lasting peace. And sometimes we have that as individuals, don't we? We disobey God. We don't have peace until we make things right. You've heard this phrase before. No God, no peace. No God, no peace. If you don't know God, you're not going to know what peace truly is. Just look around today. Do you see people at peace? With themselves, with others? Most of the time the answer is no, because real peace is hard to come by, isn't it? A lot of things try to offer peace, but they don't give us peace. Without God or without Christ, peace won't last. And he knew we couldn't do it alone. He knew we needed a Savior. We needed somebody to pay for our sins because we couldn't die for ourselves because none of us are perfect. But Jesus came as a baby. Can you imagine being God and then coming and putting yourself in this fleshly body where you have imperfections and colds and diseases and all kinds of things that happen to us, where people say things to hurt us, right? And we get hurt physically. It never says if Jesus ever fell down and got hurt, but he must have at some point. Maybe it healed instantly. We don't know. But he had a life just like we have, except he didn't sin. But God took the initiative and sent his son so we could be saved, so we could have peace. But what does true peace look like? Leviticus 26:6 says, "I will grant peace in the land, and you will lie down, and no one will make you afraid." Do you lie down at night not being afraid, or do you worry about things, what's going to happen, all those things that people worry about? Seems fear is everywhere. There's no place you can get peace. Just look at the newspaper, the internet, wherever you want to look at the news. There's always some kind of war going on, isn't there? Somebody's getting hurt. Somebody's getting killed. Somebody's getting shot, whatever it is. You go home after work and you want to escape your worries, and you get phone calls or people at the door trying to sell you something or some kind of scam on the internet. Facebook, Twitter, whatever it is, somebody wants your identity. Sometimes you go to bed at night and you just say, I just want a little bit of peace. I just want a little bit of quiet. But how can you have that peace? John 14 says, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, I wouldn't have told you. But I'm going to prepare a place for you. I go to prepare a place for you. I'll come back, take you with me. You may be where I am. Whom the Father will send in my name will teach you all things, remind you of everything I have said to you. Then he says this, peace I leave with you, and my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Don't let your hearts be troubled, and don't be afraid. So he gives a peace we can't get anywhere else. You can't buy it, you can't find it, you can't earn it. You've got to get it from the Lord. Rick Warren talked about three types of peace, and I've kind of adapted those a little bit. The first peace you need is peace with God. You need to make sure things are right between you and God. If that's not right between you and God, nothing else is going to work out the way that it should. And how do you get that peace with God? You accept him as your Lord and Savior. Say, Jesus, I need you in my life. Come in and be the Lord of my life. I need peace. Second thing is you need the peace with who you are. A lot of people not happy with themselves, are they, today? Just look on the internet. Look anywhere else. People are changing their looks. They're doing Botox and injections and surgeries and additions and subtractions, right? All those things they're doing to themselves. They're not happy with the way God made them. We need to be happy with who we are. We may not be perfect, but God made us like this, didn't he? To accept who we are. We can still have joy in the way we were created. You have a purpose for the way God made you just like you are. So don't try to be somebody else or something else. Just be what God made you to be, and you'll be happy and find peace that way. The last type of peace we need to have is peace with others. We need to see other people as God's creation. There's not a hierarchy. These people are better than these people. This race is better than this race. But we need to know we have to live together, right, and do the best we can while we're here on this earth. Because we have peace with God and peace with others, peace with ourselves, we can have peace with others. If you don't have peace with God, you're not going to have peace with others or yourself. Comes a time we need to surrender to God in order to have peace. There's things we can't control. Sometimes we think we control everything, can't we? I can control this, but in an instant it can change. Things we can't control. You need to place your faith and trust in Christ, who's able to help, and then rest in him and let his peace comfort you. Sometimes we pray to the Lord for something, then we keep going back and asking over and over again and over again. I know you can do it, but I'm not sure you can. I know you can do it, but I'm not sure you can. If you know he can do it, then be sure that he can. He may not do it the way you want it done, but he'll do it the way that needs to be done. God's peace is not something you can acquire on your own. It's given through the Lord by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit helps us live and walk and rest in peace. No matter what circumstance you're going through, he can give you peace in that circumstance. He initiated it. He sent his son to pay for our sins. We know that peace has come, right? The Prince of Peace has already come. And he wants you to have peace that only comes by giving it all to him, trusting in him, and thinking on the things that God has given you and surrendering it to the Lord. I'm going to do something this morning that is not weird, but I'm going to do it just a little different. I'm going to have you close your eyes, and then I'm going to make three statements. If one of those statements is you, then just raise your hand and put it down, because when I pray at the end, I want to be able to pray for you. So if you close your eyes, I'm going to ask you a couple questions. Are there any of you who don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, but you want to? If you do, raise your hand and put it down. All you have to do is ask him to have peace with God. Are there any of you that need to have peace with yourself? You're not feeling happy with who you are or what you've done or what's going on in your life, something difficult. Just raise your hand and put it down. Okay. And the last one, are there those of you who want peace with others? Maybe it's family, friends, neighbors, somebody else, and you're tired of the struggle. You just want peace with those around you or those you're with. Okay. Let's pray this morning. Father, we know you are the Prince of Peace. Lord, we honor you. We recognize you this morning. We give you the praise for who you are. But we ask this morning, Lord, for the hands that you've seen raised, that they want peace. With all the turmoil going on in the world, all the struggles, all the trials, all the frustrations, all the things that are happening, Lord, in our lives, physically, emotionally, spiritually, Lord, we just need peace today. So we ask you, the Prince of Peace, to come into us, into our lives, through the power of your Holy Spirit, and give peace to those who have raised their hands, and even those who may not have raised their hands that need peace. Lord, may this be a joyous Christmas season, that we can be at peace with family and friends, and share your love to those around us. We give you the praise this morning for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you again for listening to me. Thanks. You're very attentive. Hasn't it been good to be in the house of the Lord? Amen. Amen. It's a real privilege to be up here working with this group, and I just appreciate what they've done. Would you stand with me? Let's sing our way out, shall we, today? God rest ye merry gentlemen.
God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from sin.
Our job this week to spread the good tidings of what Christmas is all about. Go in peace. Thank you.